This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And here we go, getting ready for the holiday weekend, and here we are on the radio while other people... you notice, well, maybe because you're retired, maybe you don't notice this, but it seems retired. Like a typical office this afternoon. A lot of people have already vacated early.
Well, yeah, I vacated about a month ago, so I understand that process.
Oh, boy. But anyway, yeah, people are running around. Traffic already. I was out trying to run an errand. Both businesses that I went to closed early.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to a business late this afternoon, and before I got here, about an hour before, everything's closed down. Like, what is going on here?
You know, it used to be the Thanksgiving was one day, not three.
Yeah, it'll probably last into Saturday and Sunday as well.
Oh, so. Boy. Anyway.
Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm Mike, and if you have a question about your lawns, your gardens, your vegetables, your landscaping, any of that, whatever the question is, please call 673-4464 with your question, and we'll get you right on the air, and we can discuss your challenge or your problem or whatever it might be and give you a solution. How's that? That's the best deal I can give you today.
A solution.
A solution, yeah. You All never right. know. And with this wonderful rain, I have loved the rain. I know some people think, what is he, a lunatic? No, it's been so dry for the last 2 years. To see this good rain that we've had in the last week is finally penetrating the ground and making the rivers run and just kind of cleaning the whole place up. It's going to be a good spring because of it, and I'm sure going to get some more here in December, January, and even into February. And then March can come in with nice sunshine, and we can go back to work, okay? So right now you don't have to worry about any watering on your outdoor plants. I mean, that's good. But if you have some shrubs under a roof overhang, you want to check the ground to see if there are any dry spots. Just dig down a little bit around the root zone, out from the base of the plant a little bit. And if it's damp, you know, you're okay. If the soil is dry, then give the plants a good soak. And like I say, it's if the roots are dry and we get like a hard freeze, the plants will be damaged or even die because of the hard freeze in the dry ground, because there's no insulation on the root systems. And that's the most important part of the plant, as the root system. It has to stay alive so it can feed the rest of the plant. But, you know, on the watering I was talking about just a minute ago, this is not like a once-a-week watering. Maybe it's two or three times during the winter if, you know, just like I say, periodically check. And if you give it a good soak now, you know, it'll last 2-3 weeks more than likely. And you just kind of check it and check it in different spots each time just to see that you're getting everything that needs to be gotten. And, you know, it's the water around the root systems will actually insulate the root system from the cold. And I'm mainly talking about newly planted shrubs and trees. That's the thing. And if you thought you could relax because it's winter, well, think again. Yeah, I got a whole list of stuff here that you can go out there and do. But weeds are still growing, believe it or not. I mean, they've slowed down considerably, and some of them might be, you know, kind of dying down. But if you got some big old weeds out there, get them pulled now. Don't let them drop their seeds all over the place and get another weed crop for next spring. And make sure when you pull them, roots and all. And if you can't pull them, get a shovel in there and just kind of stick it down there and pop them puppies out and shake off the soil and just get rid of them, throw them in the garbage on the burn pile or, you know, over the neighbor's fence and see what he does. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that, please. But, you know, you figure maybe an hour a day in cleaning is going to help your spring and summer maintenance. If it's all clean this winter, and it's not dropping seeds all over the place. And by the time spring rolls around, there's always going to be a few weeds that'll pop up, but it won't be a mess. If you don't take them out, they'll just kind of keep growing, and by spring, they're a super problem, and then you'll have maybe not twice as many, but you'll have a significant gain in the weed population. Now, but if we have some snow or several heavy frosts, that's going to really help to keep those weeds to a minimum as well. Weeds are tough. I mean, too bad we can't eat them or make them into clothes or something. They're tough. They do a wonderful job all by themselves with no help from us at all. And then once your landscape is weed-free, it's time for like 2 to 3 inches of new mulch to be installed while everything is still dormant. And when you're done, it'll look brand new and clean, and you'll say, I don't have to do much in March. But you got another step here, and I've spoken about this on several occasions. The next step is pruning, and those overgrown shrubs, they're going to need some pruning and some shaping. And you can look out there and say, man, how did those abelias get so big? I thought they were only going to be 3 or 4 feet tall, but they're 5 or 6 feet tall. Well, prune them down to the size you want them. You're not going to hurt them. What you're going to do is energize the root systems to give you more luxurious growth for next spring. It's kind of a phenomena that way. There's not, unless you want very large shrubs, maybe you have a privacy issue or something like that, that you would like to have tall shrubs along a property line or up against a fence or something like that. And I understand that, but don't be afraid to at least snip some of those back so that they get thicker and nicer and healthier. And of course, you want to prune out any dead branches that you find that just lost their leaves. And there's always a couple of dead branches sticking around in there somewhere. But prune them to shape. And if you want them square them up. If you just want them rounded, just round them up. It's okay. And you can thin. And your shrubs will be beautiful in the spring. If there's too many branches in there, you say, well, shoot, I'm going to take half of them out. Well, that's not going to hurt. It's just going to open up the plant and maybe even make it look better. And you can be creative. Try to envision what you want that plant to look like after you've done pruning it. And then you just use your imagination as your guideline and follow through. Again, you're not hurting the plant. If it's a heavy-duty shrub, I've pruned rhododendrons down to hardly anything because they had so much dead leaves or damaged leaves of some sort or bugs that had infested them. And if you leave them on, then they're just the bugs and the fungus or whatever's hurting them are just going to continue to survive over the winter. Get rid of them. Go ahead and prune them back. And say, well, I won't have any leaves left. Yeah, but you got buds. You feel along the stem. Run your fingers down the stem, and you'll feel little bumps that the stem is smooth, and all of a sudden you'll feel a little bump, and you go down, there's another little bump, and they're on opposite sides of the stem. Well, those are leaves in waiting, if you will, and what'll happen is if you take the dead stuff off, and then the energy doesn't go to the dead or the damaged stuff, damaged leaves, things like that, what it'll do, it'll transform or transfer that energy into those potential leaf buds, so that when it comes spring and the March, middle of March, first part of April, whatever, depends on the weather, of course, all of a sudden those buds turn into beautiful leaves and you've got a nice healthy plant. And like I say, you can do it on rhodies, you can do it on boxwood, you can do it on just about any shrub that you might have in your yard. And they will be improved. They'll be healthier. They'll be stronger. And if you have fruit trees that have too many branches or too tall, well, cut them back. If you don't know how to do it, call somebody that knows how to do it and get them over there and shape it up. And You know, you want to leave good, strong, bearing branches that bared a lot of fruit in previous years. Or just so try to remove the tiny stems and those that are, you know, like too tall. Like if you wanted the tree to stay at 7 feet and it's now 10 feet, go ahead and cut 3 feet or 3.5 feet off the tops and bring them in. And then where there's limbs that are crossing one another or right next to one another, like it's just a, kind of a hodgepodge of stuff, thin those out as well. Just leave the strongest one and prune out the other one. And what you get then is good sun circulation next spring and good air circulation next spring, and you've got a healthier tree as a result. And the fruit that it brings on next year will be more abundant and healthier as well. So you know that a lot of people they spray their fruit trees and if there's a lot of limbs and a lot of old leaves and things like that, some of that spray doesn't penetrate. But if you open up those trees and then spray the stems with whatever insecticide or fungicide that it's called for, it's going to penetrate the whole canopy and get it ready for next year. That's just a simple thing. Now, well, like I say, leave your good, strong, bearing branches and just try to look at all, stand back and look at it, and then you see, oh, there's 40 or 50 little tiny stems, and they didn't bear fruit last year. Well, more than likely, they probably won't grow enough to bear fruit this year, so get rid of them. Just leave those good, strong ones that actually bared fruit. And just don't, the ones that are too tall, cut them back. That energy will go into the tree's production. And they'll just respond by bearing more and larger fruit and healthier fruit. And if you don't know how to do this and you need a consultation or somebody to do it, just call a pro to help you. I'm retired officially, but I still do consultations. In other words, come over. We talk about what you need and walk around the yard. You point out what all the problem areas you might have, and I tell you how to fix them or, you know, how to replace them or whatever you might need. But you're not going to hurt the tree or the shrub by pruning. Remember, if you cut your fingernails, your hand does not die. It's houseplants also need pruning as well. And it's just... Houseplants, they get in there and it's warm and it's fuzzy and you get them in a sunny location and they're growing crazy things. And what they'll do is outgrow their pot if you don't prune them and shape them as well. And your pruning technique is to see how much, how many stems are too long, too heavy for the plant, too thick so that sunlight can't penetrate or any kind of light can't penetrate, and then eliminate them. It's, sometimes when you go to the barber, when I go to the barber, get a haircut, I say, hey, my hair's too thick, why don't you thin it out? And thin it out, looks a lot better, lays a lot better, and grows a lot better. So, and my head isn't so heavy. You know, same way with trees, same way with shrubs. Hey.
So are you saying that there are times when you have a big head?
Most days. Yeah, and you can take that comment to the bank by Kyle.
419, Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464 with your question on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And for over two decades, giving you all the information he's accumulated in many more decades. Mike Winters, the Commissioner of Dirt.
I've been on here for decades?
That would appear to be so.
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was last week I started. I'm not sure.
No. Not hardly.
Anyway, I'm talking about what we can do for the winter in our yard and, try to get ahead of it before spring rolls around. And believe it or not, you know, when Christmas is over and all of a sudden, bang, it's January. And, all of a sudden, man, it's going to be spring pretty quick in a couple of months. Yeah. So if you do all this outdoor work or some of it out right now, you're not going to be overwhelmed when things really start growing in the spring. And also, this is a good time to shop for garden tools, because it's the middle of winter, and there's not too many people out there wanting garden tools, and the prices don't increase until, you know, the spring and summer, so you might see some good sales out there, you know, shovels, rakes, fan rakes, pruners, you know, just basic stuff for your own purposes, and you'll be amazed at how much money you can save. And you know, but you know, it comes to about March or so, the prices seem to creep up a little bit, so stock up now and you'll be happy you did. So if you have potted plants that are either indoor or outdoor and they need a larger pot, then transplant them to a new and larger pot now. They're semi-dormant, and they won't go into a great deal of shock, and you just use a good potting soil to ensure good drainage. And most potted plants grow slowly, so many can stay in their pots for a long time. But if there's a point in time where if you've had a jade plant, for instance, which are very tough and durable, and you've had this thing in a tiny pot for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and it's starting to look a little scraggly and the leaves aren't really developing correctly, that means it's run out of root system for it to grow. So that's a good indicator that, hey, go get a larger pot, stick it in there, and it's good for another 10 years or whatever. But it's same thing on them. If you get some good potting mix and you just slide the old one out, put it in the new pot and give it some vitamin B1, and before long it'll have all brand new growth and look really healthy again. And you're good for, like I say, another maybe 5 years if the pot's big enough. But most potted plants, like I say, they grow slowly, so they can stay in their pots for a pretty long time. And I've had some, my wife's had some, gosh, for years and years in the house that they look pretty good. And once in a while, she'll repot one, and it really springs back to life. But it's root-bound. When the roots are bound, they can't grow. And so consequently, it affects the top, it affects the leaves, and then they start to look, like I say, a little run down and a little scraggly, if that's a good word for it. They don't look as lush and as wonderful as they once did when you bought it. So you look at that and you say, hey, it's time to get those repotted. And you know, and most indoor plants are slow growers and can be in a pot for 3 or 4 years or maybe longer, depending on the size of the pot and the rate of growth of the plant. So you don't have to rush out and just do them because I said so. Make sure you inspect the plants and they're
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. Somebody just gave me a drink.
God. Hey, and we've got a phone call too. You're on with Mike Winters. Good. On the Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you.
Same to you.
I have a question. You're welcome. I have a question about yuccas.
Yuccas.
I'm trying to pull out. What would be the best way to take a yucca out? They are very deep rooted. I'm older, so I don't have a back like I used to. Is there any way to like kill it first and then take it out? They're just horrible.
How old is it? How big is it?
Oh gosh, it's probably 4 feet by 5 feet.
Wow, yeah. That's a big yucca.
I know. I have two of them, and they're beautiful when they bloom, but they just this time they need to go.
They need to go.
Someone left them.
You just want to repot them and put them in a bigger pot. That's what you want to do?
No. Nope. No, I want to kill them and get rid of them.
Ah! You know, that's against the law, you know.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't.
I didn't know. Are you serious?
No. I'm just pulling.
Okay, good.
I'm pulling your leg.
Good. Okay, good.
So
I tried to pour boiling water on the one after I cut it down. I cut it down really high and tight, and I poured boiling water on it.
Boiling.
And it literally came back better than it was the first time.
Boiling water?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't know. What I'm trying to do is soften the roots of them because the roots are so, so difficult to get out.
Yeah, well, that plant's probably pretty well root-bound, and what it does is just kind of grabs a hold of the inside of the container that it's in, if it's like a clay pot.
It's in the ground.
Oh, in the ground. Yeah, oh.
Yes, sir. It's in the ground.
Oh, geez.
So both of them are in the ground.
So when you dig them up, what are you going to do with them?
I'm going to compost them or burn them.
Mm-hmm.
I love to garden, but I do not like yuccas.
did you plant them originally?
No, I did not, sir. My kids bought this house, and they were there, oh, I don't know, 60 years.
Oh, gosh.
And so I don't know when they planted them, but yeah, I'm trying to get rid of them.
Yeah. So what's the bottom line here? You just want to pull them out of the ground and throw them away? Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what's stopping you?
Or because I can't, they're so rooted that I've tried pulling them out with a chain with my car.
Really?
yes, I've tried to dig them out with a shovel. They're so established, I just thought maybe you might have this magic answer.
Well, you know, what you might do is just dig a trench around the base of the plant down about, say, a foot, and just take an axe and chop the roots out and then remove them. I don't think the roots will grow back another yucca, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
But that would be
I haven't tried an axe. I haven't tried an axe, so.
Yeah.
And if anybody's listening and you want to, couple of yuccas, let me know.
You dig yuccas.
right. Okay, Mike. Well, I'll try an act.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Have
the call.
Good holiday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 673-4464. You can call in as well on the Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Well, you know, just to go back on that last call, yuccas, they're a tough plant. And I never had a desire to put any in my yard because of their tenacity to grow and take over and just become a pain in the neck. So, anytime you have a tough plant like that, if you can't just jerk it out of the ground, you're going to have to dig around it and loosen up that root system and cut those roots underground to take something like that out. And then just keep your eyes, you know, fill the hole back up once it's empty and just keep your eye on the spot. And if nothing comes up next spring and summer, hey, you know, you got the whole thing and you can plant the plant that you would desire, or whatever it might be. Depends on if it's shady or full sun. Yuccas like a lot of sun. They're a desert plant, for crying out loud. And I'm surprised they grow so well in Oregon. But, you know, you can do that or just leave your space bare. But sometimes you got to take a shovel to those kinds of things and an axe. I have, oh gosh, when I was doing my first house up on Leland Street, there were plants in there that had been in there 30 or 40 years, for crying out loud. And, you know, I cut them down and some of them I tied a chain around them and hooked them to my old pickup and tried to pull them out that way. It was almost impossible because my pickup was only a two-wheel drive 56 Chevy pickup. But still, it was like, well, what's going on? So I had to dig out around them and get down about a foot or so and just take an axe and cut the root systems and, you know, just chop them out. And that's the only way I could get them out. So I don't know how to, you know, make that job any easier, but it's tough. So, getting back to my agenda, well, if you've got, like I say, some indoor plants that need to be potted, now would be a good time to get them. And, you know, this is a, what, December? Yeah, is it December yet?
No, not till Sunday.
Not till Sunday, okay. But, you know, if you go, like, to the co-op or some of these other stores, you'll see that some of the prices are reduced just to kind of get rid of the old inventory because they've got new inventory probably coming in February or March of next year. And you might make a deal with these folks and do some finagling there and repot them in some new pots, that kind of thing. And, you know, like most potted plants, they grow pretty slowly. And many can stay, like I say, in their pots for a long time. And if your plant is not growing well this past year, it's probably root-bound. If you've been taking care of it and you've had it for, you know, 10 years or whatever, and all of a sudden this year it's just going, oh, yeah, what's going on? It looks kind of peaked and wilted. It's just like root-bound. So you either pull it out and put it in a bigger pot with new soil and prune it back and give it a little bit of fertilizer, liquid fertilizer for indoor plants, and kind of spruce it up, and it'll come back. It'll come roaring back. Either that or you give it to your aunt or your grandma or your son or daughter or whatever and say, here's your Christmas present. But anyway, don't hesitate. And like I say, most indoor plants are slow growers, and they can be in those pots 3, 4, 5, 6 years, but then eventually they need more room for root growth. And if your potted plants are outdoors, there are, you know, if you've got some dwarf conifers of some sort, juniper or whatever, some azaleas, but they're in pots on your patio or up against the house, protect them from any hard freezing weather, and like put them in the garage. If we have, if Kyle says, hey, we're gonna have 28 degrees tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, well, on a potted plant, that cold will really penetrate that pot because there's not much insulation there, and either damage the plant or kill the plant. But if they're up against the house or even put them, like I say, in the garage, they're going to survive. And when the coldest temperatures finally leave us and get back to, say, a more normal wintertime Douglas County winter, then you can put them back outside and they'll do fine. But that's you got to protect them in some way. You can even wrap a blanket around the pot to keep the roots more insulated. And prune the dead stuff off or any of the damaged branches. And if you do that, they're going to survive and grow again in the spring. So you don't really have to worry about that. We shall return?
We will.
Okay.
Back in a moment. 673-4464. If you've got a question, it's 435. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The afternoon report coming up at 5 o'clock. 43 degrees, dry in the Umpqua Valley. In fact, dry through probably Tuesday, and then some rain coming in after that. It is, of course, Thanksgiving Eve, so drive carefully. Lots of extra cars on the road as folks go all over the place.
Yeah, there are a lot of cars out there, man. And some of them go very fast and turn in front of you. Uh-huh. But anyway, it's the Christmas tree season, of course. And if you haven't got your tree, well,
it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Why would you have a Christmas tree?
Oh, come on. I see Christmas trees all over the place now.
Now, under city ordinances, you've got to follow, you have to get through Thanksgiving before you can put up anything Christmassy.
Oh, no, that's not right. Yeah, there's a lot of eager beavers out there.
I will tell you, though, much to my surprise, because my wife quit decorating for Christmas after our kids left.
Uh-huh.
And I got home last night, and there was a box. I was curious about, what is this? It is an artificial, very skinny Christmas tree with lights.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Really?
Yeah, I got tired of putting on lights and stuff. You just put it in the box and, for the season, then pull her back out and stick her in, pull the plug in, it's lit
now,
up.
Now, see, I thought you would be a purist with an actual cut-down tree.
I used to be a purist, but I got lazy in my old age, okay?
So, well, and we haven't had a tree up for 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
And apparently this one is going to be up at some point. I don't think it's up yet, but I was kind of surprised there because she has not wanted to do that, so...
Well, anyway, if you want a real one, they're out there, and you have a lot of choices. There's many varieties to choose from, and I am seeing one or two Christmas tree lots out already. But first, you think about this. You can cut a tree, and they include Douglas fir, grand fir, noble fir. Those are the three that are the most popular. And they have all sizes and shapes to choose from. If you only want a 3-footer, they got 3-footers in these Christmas tree lots, or they got a 10-footer if you want one of those. But Douglas fir, of course, is a big seller, and we, you know, and thousands of them are grown here in Douglas County. If you drive around out in the Melrose area, or just get out of town a while, ways a few miles, and you'll see a field, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 acres. There's a huge one out there at Brockway. These people came up from, I think, California, and it was, they put in a lot of grapes, acres and acres of grapes, and then they got lots of acres and acres of Christmas trees at the same time. So you get people on both ends of the season, so... But you think about this. You can buy a natural or a sheared tree. And sheared trees are just a little bit fuller and nicer. And the natural trees are more open, and they're more open, so you've got a lot of space between the branches. Not an overwhelming amount, but enough to hang decorations and lights in. It's not so much of a hassle. And basically, in years past, I just go out on my own property and find a tree and get my wife's approval and cut it down, and we bring it in. And that was that was that simple. Anymore, I don't do that. I usually she went and got one of those fake trees, and she puts it in a box and puts it upstairs in the upstairs closet. And then she drags it out this time of year, and the lights are already on it, so it's okay. I like that. It's easy, and I don't have to do anything. I used to do live trees, and live trees are beautiful. And you know, killing two birds with one stone. You got a nice live Christmas tree in your house, and then you put it outside after Christmas, and then probably in February you plant it in your yard. So hey, it's good to go. That's okay.
What happens though if it takes root like in your carpet?
Well, just cut the carpet and the floor out, and then replace it with a new floor and a new carpet. It's simple. You know, what the heck?
I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, you know, some people would do that.
I mean, I have heard of houses with literal indoor trees.
Yeah, you know, in a planter that's built for that purpose.
Like where they've cut out the part of the floor.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like, you know, the multimillion dollar high-end sort of house that's very uniquely designed.
Uh-huh.
Have okay. A tree right in the middle of the living room.
Well, I've not had the privilege of going into one of those homes yet, but I'm sure I will someday. But like I was starting to say, Douglas fir is the biggest seller and around here, and thousands are grown right here in Douglas County. Yeah, and you can buy a natural or sheared tree. A natural has just more open branches, and there's lots of space, like I say, for the decorations to hang. And the sheared ones are pretty, too, but it's they're a little bit different to decorate. It's a little tighter because they've sheared it, and so the tree is very full. The branch pattern is very full, and there's not a lot of space to hang some really cool ornaments except on the very end of the branches, but that's okay. but they're still beautiful. But they're very tight, and when you don't use as many ornaments either. Now, noble firs are a high elevation tree, and branches are spaced with a lot of room for decoration. And grand fir is kind of an in-between tree between the Douglas fir and the noble fir. It's a little bit more open, but it's not as open as the nobles. But they're very pretty, very attractive. And then you can buy a tree in a pot and plant it in your yard after Christmas. And the only thing you have to be forewarned about with a live potted tree, you don't place it near a heat source, or it might think it's spring and begin to grow with new buds right in the house. So you don't want to leave it in there until February or March and say, hey, gee, this tree is looking good. How come it's got new growth on it? Well, okay. But with a live tree, like I say, don't put it near a heater. Keep it watered because the soil begins to dry up after a while. It's not used to the heat of the 70-degree heat in the house. It was in the ground where it was like 35 or 40 degrees maybe. And so it was dormant, or at least semi-dormant. But you bring it indoors in a pot full of soil, and that soil warms up to the room temperature, and the tree begins to grow and goes, whoa, what's going on here? But it can't grow very much because it's in a pot. And but it does become active, so don't keep it in the house for more than a week or so, and then put her out in the backyard there, or up against the garage or somewhere to protect it from any frost. But you know, and when you put it outside, give it some protection, like I say, against the house, or wrap a blanket around the pot to keep the roots from any freeze damage, and because of the transition from house to outside. Or put them in the garage by a window so they get some light. In the meantime, you can be digging your planting hole and getting some good soil and compost for the tree's new home. And you're not rushed to do it because we've got, you know, months of dormancy that it can withstand. And the ground is pretty soft now. It's not saturated, but it's very soft and moist. So your hole is more easily dug now. Get it dug and get some good potting mix to put in the hole. And you always dig the hole deeper and wider than what the root ball or the container is, because you want plenty of room for the new roots to come out and establish themselves. And if the hole is, say, 6 inches deeper than what the tree pot is, you fill that bottom part with good composted potting soil, so that when you take the tree out of the pot, it has a nice bed to sit on, and that will promote new root growth right off the bat. And then you fill it in with the same type of composted soil, and the tree's, you know, it's in tree heaven then, because it can grow very easily. And like I say, vitamin B1, you can buy it in a bottle by the quart or the gallon from any nursery. And what that is a root enhancement. And it's like 2 tablespoons to a gallon of water. And then you just pour it into the root ball. And that what that does, it ignites that root system to go ahead and take place and get going. And so that by the time spring rolls around, it's pretty much well-rooted. It's not fully rooted, but it's well-rooted so it can survive. And on any conifer, the worst thing you can do is overwater. So don't think more water is going to be good for the tree, because it's not. It's actually a detriment, because it actually rots the roots. And when you rot the roots, there's no nutrition going up into the tree, because the roots do all the work for the tree. So there. But like I say, if you haven't planted it, you can. If you got a bigger pot, you can put it in a bigger pot and keep it in that pot for, you know, another 3 or 4 years, and drag it in the house every Christmas and set it up, or keep it on the deck or on a patio and decorate it outside. It's okay. It'll work. We got a break?
We do.
We'll be back.
All right. 4:49 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
He's Douglas Caddy's Commissioner of Dirt, along with advice for cooking your turkey. No, wait.
No.
You're not doing that.
How to barbecue hamburgers on a winter day.
What? No.
I can do that show.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm talking about if you buy a live Christmas tree, how to treat it and make sure that it lives through the Christmas season. And then what you do as soon as the Christmas season's over is you put it out on the deck or in the garage if it's really cold. But if it's not really freezing, you can just put it on the deck and let the rain hit it or put it near where you're going to plant it, that kind of thing.
But what does the tree do after it's been inside a house at 70 degrees?
Well, it has to acclimate. It has to acclimate pretty well. And that's why you want to watch the weather and listen to the weather forecast by Kyle Bailey and make sure that...
The weather forecast by Kyle Bailey.
That's
except
right.
No substitute.
None whatsoever. But if we're talking 30 degrees at night, yeah, you want to put it inside the garage or wrap it or put it up against the house and wrap a blanket or something around the pot and around the base of the tree to protect it from any heavy frost. The frost doesn't hurt the branches. It hurts the roots. And so consequently, that's why you want to wrap the pot just to kind of insulate it. But in the meantime, you're going to be digging your hole a good amount larger than what that root ball is. Some people say twice the size. Well, you can do that if you've got the energy. But as long as it fits comfortably and you can put good soil in it after you get it in the hole, that's usually good enough. And good soil is maybe some sand or topsoil and some fine grind old bark mulch or compost material. Mix it all together and get it really mixed up really nice, and put about 3 or 4 or 5 inches on the bottom of the hole, so when you put the tree in the hole, it's got a nice bed in which to set. And then fill in the rest of the all the way around the tree. If there's any strings attached to the trunk because it was ball and burlapped or anything like that, cut those strings and so that it doesn't bind into the trunk and kill the tree in the middle of summer. But then water in with some, like I say, B1. B1 is a root enhancer. You can bring stuff that back from the dead, plants that I've experimented with this for 40 years, just looking at some odd, bad plants, and I thought, why throw them away? Let me see if I can do something with them. And I put them to the side and mix up a super strong batch of this B1 and pour it in there once a week. Just once a week, that's all. And in about a month, all of a sudden you see all these new leaves popping up because you rejuvenated that root system. And, you know, any dead branches, you just prune those off and you're good to go. And you didn't kill your plant. And the same thing in the ground. Now, the ground's going to retain a lot of moisture, especially if we get more rain, you know, 4 or 5, 6 more inches of rain over the winter. you want to go light on the B1 and just don't overdo it. Don't overwater it. Maybe once a month, a good shot from, oh, say you planted it in January, wait a month and do February, March, and April. And by May, it's pretty well on its way. If you want to do another one in May, you can do that too. But don't add anything else to it. Just a nice strong dose of vitamin B1 is going to really, really perk it up and get it going. Whatever you do, don't fertilize a brand new tree when you're planting it. It would be too strong, too deadly for the root system, and it would do more harm to the tree, could even kill it. And so you want to wait till, if you planted it in January, you'd want to wait till like mid-April or May, and then you can throw some fertilizer, some liquid fertilizer or granular fertilizer around the base of the tree. And you do this about once a month, and it should be growing very, very well. And you can all just think about this. You can always add water or you can always add fertilizer. But if you put too much of either one of those commodities into the tree, you're going to kill it, or shrub, whatever you're planting. But if you do it correctly, like I say, in a month's time, it will have almost rooted in completely, and it will be growing and pushing new growth. And if it's dry, feel the soil. If it feels dry, that's when you give it a shot of water. If it feels damp, leave it alone. Don't mess with it, especially in this kind of inclement weather that we're experiencing now. And And it's important not to plant a tree, and I'm talking trees specifically, next to a structure. Give it plenty of room to grow. You don't want to put it next to the house or next to the garage within 4 or 5 feet because it's, you know, it's only 5 feet tall now and it looks good sitting there. Oh, gee, that's going to decorate that wall really nice. Yeah, well, 10 years down the road, you're going to have to cut it out because it's lifting the roof of your garage or something like that, or plugging up your rain gutters with needles or leaves or whatever kind of tree it is. But and then if your yard is dead flat, I mean, you know, you just, oh, and it's always wet in the winter, well, you're going to have to build a mound of soil to plant that tree in. And this mound has to be at least 6 inches, better maybe a foot above the existing grade. And if you plant it in a lawn, a larger mound is even needed because you're watering the lawn too much, and that tree needs to be up out of that, out of the accumulation of water that's down around those roots. And so that mound should be like 3 feet in diameter and 1 foot higher. And that way they've got proper drainage. The roots will eventually get down into the original soil, but it's not going to drown and suffocate on the way of getting there because it'll be established by that time and it can decide where it wants to go, and they do. And but just get it up. Don't plant it in a lawn that you water all the summer long either, because it's not going to, unless it's a willow tree. You put a willow tree in a lawn, water it every day if you want. It's going to grow gangbusters. But a regular Christmas tree type or a fruit tree or anything like that, shade tree, you don't want to overwater. You can always add water, like I say. Always add it, not a problem. But you can't take it out once it's in there and it's starting to do the damage on the root system. And keep in mind that Christmas tree plantations are not irrigated. You won't find them irrigated. Look at any of them in Douglas County. There's no sprinkler systems on those Christmas trees. They survive on the natural rain, and that's good. So thank you for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right, back next week. The podcast up shortly at 541radio.com. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.